Joining us on the telephone line right now is Member of Parliament for Scarborough Gilwood, John McKay. He has a bill before Parliament right now, Bill C-300, which is entitled An Act Respecting Corporate Accountability for the Activities of Mining Oil or Gas in Developing Countries. Mr. McKay, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you very much.
Why don't you first tell us a little bit about the need for Bill C-300 and maybe outline some of the provisions that are in Bill C-300?
Well, there's probably nobody in Canada that hasn't heard of some disturbing stories from time to time over the years with respect to the activities of mining companies around the world. Disturbing stories keep surfacing. There never seems to be any resolution. There never seems to be any coming together as to what the actual truth might be, what the company story is, what the NGO story might be, or the offended party in the third world country. This bill was a modest attempt to bring some closure to those disputes, and basically it outlines provisions which would try to bring corporations into some level of environmental and corporate social responsibility compliance, and if there was a negative finding, i.e. they were outside of compliance, then taxpayer in right of EDC, Export Development Canada, and CPP, Canada Pension Plan, would withdraw their investments. You know, these kinds of activities shouldn't take place on the taxpayer's dime or the pensioner's dime.
What is your gauge of support for this bill with regards to having this bill go through the House?
Well, the Conservative Party, the government party, is dead set against it and would like to have this bill terminated with extreme prejudice. The NDP and the Bloc are highly supportive of the bill.
So, therefore, this bill would pass through the House?
I think we got a reasonable chance of getting it through the House. The Senate is another story. That may be a bit more problematic.
Now, I hope you don't mind getting into some of the nuts and bolts of the bill itself. Just taking a look at the bill on the first reading, it takes the accountability out of the legal framework and places it in the hands of two specific ministers, the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Minister of International Trade. Is this true accountability?
Well, it's, accountability within the limitations of a private member's bill. Ideally, you would have had an ombudsman, an independent officer of parliament, who would have an office and staff and resources and budget, et cetera, that would conduct investigations into the activities of mining companies. But a private member's bill can't cause the government to spend money, so therefore we repose the responsibility in the two ministers.
The bill also applies only to Canadian mining companies that receive government funding, specifically defined through the Canadian Pension Plan or Export Development Canada. Is there a segment of the population who want to see this bill apply to all Canadian mining companies, not just those receiving government funding?
Oh, ideally. You know, the activities of Canadian mining companies are not limited to those who do receive either government or pension money. Yes, it would be ideal to apply it to everyone, but then we get into arguments about extraterritoriality and the application of Canadian law to other jurisdictions, and then you're really into a firefight. The limitation and the strength of this bill is that it doesn't get into that application of Canadian law to other jurisdictions, simply limits it to the funding by taxpayers and pensioners.
Well, you hit the nail right on the head right there. The bill itself makes clear that the CPP, the Canadian Pension Plan, and the EDC, the Economic Development Canada, are obliged to cut investment ties. However, when I read the bill, I didn't see anything that would prevent the companies in question from continuing on the company's own dime. Is this another limitation of the bill?
It is a limitation, no question about it. I regret that, but there's really nothing that we can do. Pick an example like the Belgian Congo. Don't adhere to their own laws. There's very little that Canada can do. And if a Canadian mining company is operating there and it's operating on its own dime, There's very little that Canadian law can do about that either.
I've seen some newspaper reports about some severe pressure that you've received from all sides, from mining activists who say that this bill is not strong enough, but you've also received some pressure from the mining companies themselves who have threatened slapping libel suits, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you can speak a little bit towards that?
Yeah, I'm not not overly popular these days, which if you're a politician is a bit of a problem. No, I'm not overly, generally speaking, I've received a tremendous support from the NGO community, the Development of Peace folks at the Catholic Church, the World Vision, the Mennonite Central Committee, you know, on and on and on. We had an enormous amount of support from them. And they appreciate that we can only do what we can do. As to the mining companies, well, they made it abundantly clear that if I step 1 millimeter outside of parliamentary privilege, I'll be facing a barrage of lawsuits, affectionately known as slap suits. And it's a technique that other NGOs have experienced in terms of trying to keep them from speaking openly about what they have observed in developing country situations.
Now, I want to ask you this next question, citizen to citizen of Canada. If you, sir, as a member of parliament, are treated in such a manner by the Canadian mining companies themselves with threats of libel suits and slaps, et cetera, what can the ordinary citizens of other countries who are seeing their resources being exploited by these mining companies expect if a member of parliament is being treated in such a way that demonstrates the modus operandi of these Canadian mining companies?
Well, you ask a very depressing question.
I'm sorry. It's early on Friday morning.
It's too early in the morning to be that depressed. I'll answer it this way. We had, before the Foreign Affairs Committee on Tuesday, the former Minister of the Environment for Argentina. And she described how she had been physically assaulted. She'd been threatened. Her family had been threatened. Her office had been firebombed. Her employees intimidated and ultimately bought off. Her access to a national park impeded, and a whole variety of other activities that didn't make you feel too proud as a Canadian. And all she was alleging emulated by a Canadian mining company. So all of that, you know, is obviously subject to, how should I say, the rules of evidence. Nevertheless, she was making the case rather forcefully for reputation of Canada being besmirched by the activities of this, this particular company. And then that story gets repeated in other countries around the world. We can go from a big lawsuit in Mexico this past week where a company was enjoined from continuing its activities. You can go down to Guatemala. You can go to Honduras. You can go to Chile. You can go to Argentina. You can go to Colombia. You go to Belgium. You go to Papua New Guinea. And, you know, the list goes on and on. And, you know, sometimes where there's smoke, there is actually fire. And sometimes where there's smoke, there's just smoke. You know, having sat for, I guess, 5 or 6 weeks now at the Foreign Affairs Committee and heard stories both at the committee and outside the committee and received an immense amount of correspondence and contact on this file, I'm more inclined to the view that where there is smoke, there is fire.
So you're more inclined to the view that if there is no fire to put out the feeling of impunity of these mining companies, the way they act throughout the world, they will simply continue to smoke the resources of other countries.
Yes, to turn analogy on analogy. Yeah, too early for this.
I'm sorry for that. Okay, one final question this morning. We mentioned earlier that the accountability will be placed specifically in the hands of two ministers, the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Minister of International Trade. There is wording in the bill that says that these ministers are to act on their own initiative. Are we finally going to get a Minister of Foreign Affairs or a Minister of International Trade whose own initiative will be enough to keep these companies in line? Or is the legal framework necessary?
Well, let's put it this way. The current Ministers of Foreign Affairs and International Trade show little enthusiasm for this particular file. And one would hope with a change of government they might show a little bit more enthusiasm for initiating these kinds of investigations. Pretty clear that you have to be a fairly courageous minister to take on this rather formidable lobby. It is an enormously powerful industry, the reach into the highest places of Canadian government. So to apply this law, assuming we get it passed, to apply this law is going to also require a great political courage.
When this law passes, is this going to be the first step, or is this the be-all to end-all? Do you view this yourself as a first step?
Well, it's such a tiny step that you could almost barely characterize it as a first step. If you don't get it going, it ain't never going to get going. So I would hope this is one step. And I would hope that, you know, ultimately public pressure on political parties such that they say to political parties that what we want in your next mandate is a vigorous corporate social responsibility regime. We want an ombudsman, we want people properly resourced, and we want serious commitment that any political party, no matter who they are, when they form government, will commit themselves to this so that Canada's reputation doesn't continue to diminish abroad. We've suffered a few slings and arrows lately with lack of enthusiasm for any kind of meaningful greenhouse gas emissions and, you know, the torture allegations in Afghanistan and things of that nature. I don't think we need more abuse of what used to be a pretty darn good international reputation.
Absolutely. The problem is becoming Canada's reputation with Canadian citizens as well as the rest of the world, and that's something that we as Canadians have to put an end to and bring back throughout the international community.
Now, we don't need to be the Boy Scouts of the world, but
clean our own room.
We also don't need to be subject to all of these accusations.
Very well said. John McKay, Member of Parliament for Scarborough-Gilwood, thank you very much for joining us this morning and discussing the provisions of Bill C-300, an act to respect corporate accountability in developing countries.
Thank you.